Okay, I want to welcome everybody to the August 14th, 2023 Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. My name is Jim Dingman, and I wanted to just welcome everybody to this meeting. We have enough people to have quorum, but for the purposes of just simply, and unfortunately, we no longer have our very able secretary anymore. He is too busy working. Money. So unfortunately, he's not with us anymore, John Hoffman. But I will just simply make a note that we have myself, Jim Dingman. We have Jim Sagerton. We have Julie Hewitt. We have Bill Foster. We have Nancy Sorden here and Beth Van Ruten. Yes.
Point of order?
Yes, go on.
For that attendance to count, each of those people needs to be heard responding to their own name. That's what makes it a legal meeting. So if you can just, I've got the list if you want someone to read it out.
If you could, thank you.
But that's, sure. Jim Dingman.
Here.
Fred Dodsworth.
He's not here.
Here, Fred. What is that? Was that
He's not here. He's not
here. Okay. Bill Foster.
Here.
Thank you. Heather Gray. Heather? I don't hear Heather. Donna Grimes. Don't hear Donna. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Hi, Julie. Thank you. James Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you. Nancy Sorden?
Present.
Thank you. Beth Van Gunten, I'm here. Egberto Willis?
He's not here.
I don't hear Egberto. So that does make 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 so far, which means we've got quorum. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. All right. Anyway, what I'd like to propose as an agenda is I basically wanted to talk about two items. First of all, the issue of community advisory boards. And secondly, the issue of strategic plans in general and to share with you some work I've done on this issue. I wanted to end the meeting at 10:15 time certain. And I wanted to just see if there's anybody else who wanted to add another issue to discuss tonight. Anybody have any other? Yeah, go on.
Well, I was just looking down through the agenda that you sent, and we've skipped item number 3. I guess you mentioned the pro tem secretary isn't here, and then we are on approval. So were you proposing that we consider approving or excusing absences on this committee?
Yeah, I would move to excuse everybody.
Because I thought we'd already established that that doesn't happen at the committee level. We don't.
Fine. Okay. So we have all those people absent. Okay. Fine. And thank you, Beth, okay, for taking the role. On the other two questions, does anybody want to put anything else into the agenda before we vote on discussing it? All right, hearing no discussion on that, let me just move to the first item on the agenda, which is the status of community advisory boards. Now, I sent a motion out that I'd like us to discuss. It came to my attention today that, and we all know that the application to the CPB is an iffy process for all sorts of reasons. The AFRs, the audited financial reports are not done. The question of Nielsen ratings, et cetera. However, it came to my attention today that, in some stations, we still don't have community advisory boards functioning, which is a big no-no with the CPB. And I am, proposing that we, I sent the motion, the wording of this motion out because this has to be rectified immediately. And the sense of the motion is that, resolved that that all the stations be required, all the LSBs are required to stand up a community advisory board within 2 weeks. And if they do not do this, the membership of their Pacifica National board members be furloughed until they achieve that status, because we cannot play around with the CPB on any of these kind of issues. They will come in and nail us on such an obvious thing. And I'm not getting into the question of how these community advisory boards are functioning, because we know that they need a lot of work, as does everything. But to not have them after we went through a year of not being able to apply last year and then now this year, I think is frankly strategically ill-conceived. And I don't know what people are thinking, that they could not have community advisory boards functioning. So that's the argument, you know, that we have to get this done. And, it's, you know, given all the financial problems we're facing, to me, it's a very minor task that should be taken care of to make sure that all the stations have these kind of CABs functioning. So does anybody have any comments about this? Go on, Elizabeth.
Thank you. I was back when I was LSB chair for a brief, the end of my first year before coming to the PNB. Our cab was down at the time. There wasn't one. And so I considered it my responsibility to get one stood up. And I put close to a couple of years into getting one off the ground. And we have had one ever since, and a very reliable chair there. Who then went on to do what he could to network among all the cabs at all our stations. That's Dan McCrory. You may remember him from the Tech Task Force meetings. It was he who was acquainted with, what's his name, chair of the CPB. Knew him from a previous cab he'd sat on. But at any rate, he's available this evening to brief us on current state of the cabs to the best of his knowledge. He networks with those people pretty regularly. Shall I call him and bring him in?
Is everybody amenable to that? Are there any objections to bringing Mr. McCrory into the phone call? All right, hearing none. Yeah, sure. Please go bring him into the phone call.
Okay, because it seems to me that the first order of business is just to assess the status of each of them before we get punitive. We just find out
I agree.
I'll go bring him. I'll go bring him in.
And obviously, one does not want to be punitive, but to me, it seems absolutely ridiculous that if we're putting a lot of energy and effort into something we know is a tough proposition, that is to get money from the CPB. And also, I don't have to tell anybody, you know, the House is, the GOP is right now trying to do many different things of dastardly deeds to the best interest of the public of the United States. But on the one thing they're trying to do is knock out the CPB to start with. However, it does not help if one or two stations are not participating in this process. Who's that?
Thank you.
Oh, Elizabeth. All right. Does anybody? Did you get it? Did you get Mr. McCrory? All right. Anyway, does anybody want to comment on this issue, the CPB, the cab issue?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go on, Bill.
As I understand it, the affiliates are not required with this process, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, no, it's a requirement for any, the network is really every station in the network has to have a functioning community advisory board in order to, it's one of the requirements to receive Corporation for Public Broadcasting money. Now, some affiliates get CPB money, so I'm sure they get money due to this, source of income. Go on, Julie, but that's the situation as I understand it. Go on, Julie.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say is probably not all the affiliates get CPB money, but those who do would have to have a CAB, a community advisory board. So that.
Right.
Yeah, it's really a no-brainer. I mean, and the thing that spurred me was somebody was actually arguing, that the reason they don't have it is because, it seemed like they're waiting for the bylaws resolution to come back and modify the cabs so that the, LSBs and the cabs would be merged together. That, as we know, was defeated. So I don't understand what's going on. Yes, Beth, were you able to get Mr. McCrory?
Yes, he's on the same line with me.
So hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, man? So anyway, we wanted we were right. Just so could you give us a brief, first introduce yourself and then give us a brief as to your understanding about what the status of community advisory boards are in the network right now.
Okay, I'm Dan McCrory. I have been a cab person since I was on KCET, which is a PBS station, back in 94 to 2000, then again 2017 to 2023. And when I got on this one was 2021, I guess, and I was asked to rebuild the cab at KPFK. And once we did that, I realized that a lot of decisions being made at the PNB level or executive director level had no oversight. So I brought together several people to put together a cab coalition to talk about best practices and a cab council to look at and advise the PNB and the executive director on how things are impacting us downstream. And I think that's about it. Did I forget anything? Oh, current status.
Well, who has
KPF?
Yeah.
KPFK is active and running. KPFT is active and running. WPFW, from what I understand, is going through some changes right now. WBAI has one. That's a little cantankerous from what I hear. And the KPFA, I don't think is currently. I think they're operating one, but it's very small and it's very much under the direction of their local LSB, from what I understand. That's my understanding. After talking to somebody about a year ago about it, I talked to Christina Huggins. That's about it.
All right, thank you. So the only station that doesn't have a CAB functioning right now, in your opinion, is the one in Berkeley?
I'm not sure that the one in D.C. is either, but for sure KPFA. Well, they may be operating, but it would be a very tiny group. I reached out to them when I first came up with the idea of the CAB Council about a year and a half ago, and I talked to the guy who was the head of their cab there, and he said that he wasn't going to get involved in a cab council because it was his understanding that pretty soon the whole network would be dismantled and that would be the end of his job as cab chair.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Julie, thank you.
Can I have a question?
Go on.
For Dan. Dan, supposedly in 2010, the Pacifica National Board passed a resolution concerning how cabs were to be constituted. You know, in the CPB regulations says that the governing body determines the membership of the cabs. And, of course, we've always been a little unclear as to whether the governing body is the local station board in this case or the Pacifica National Board. But at any rate, the National Board supposedly in 2010 passed a resolution outlining how this was to be done. So I have a twofold question. One is, have you ever seen that resolution? Do you know what I'm referring to? And the second one is, it's my understanding that the CPB likes for organizations to follow their own rules. So if we have a standing policy on how cabs should be constituted and we're not following them, would that be a problem?
A broad framework would be most welcome because then we can all make sure that we're adhering to the same ideals of what a cab is supposed to be. I've never seen that document. I don't think I've even heard of that document, but having been on cabs before, I know that they operate very differently from each other. The one at PBS was very much, I call it a day spa, because there you just relax and the station does everything for you. And there's not really a lot of deciding to go on or a lot of issues to deal with. Whereas with this board requires a much more hands-on, and I actually like that idea, because then you don't wander off and lose people because there's nothing to do. So that's my own understanding of how things operate on the CPB. And I looked at the CPB rules over and over again over the years. And I think loosely based, it's fine. And as long as we're not doing anything that's a flagrant violation of any set rule, then I think we're okay.
So, Dan, if I could just reinterpret that, you mean to say that even though we have a policy that outlines a way that cabs should be, cab membership should be determined by the local station boards, the CPB will not mind if we don't follow that policy to the letter?
What I see,
that may be above your pay grade. I don't know.
I'm in the Democratic Party, so I know that there's a list of endorsed candidates. Sometimes somebody will have a problem with one or two of them, and we'll set those two aside and we'll vote the rest of the slate and then come back to those two to vet them. And it's usually an up or down vote. It's not something that you need to go over and over and decide why you don't like them or why you don't think they belong on the cab. You just say no or yes as that vote goes. And we did all that with this cab when we first formed it.
Thank you, Dan.
I have a question. I have a question for Dan.
Go on, Beth.
Thanks. I have a strong memory of something in the CPB or a requirement from somewhere. I thought it was a CPB reg that cabs meet at least quarterly. But we perused the CPB requirements briefly before the meeting and didn't find it. Can you point to that? Or where did I come up with that?
I do remember that myself. So I don't have the CPB rules right in front of me. I could probably pull them up pretty quickly. Hang on just a second.
Because back when I was scheduling not cab meetings but cab meetings to try to pull a cab together, I was making dead sure to put them at least quarterly on the national calendar so that it would be where all could see them. We met more often than that, but at least quarterly, because as I understood it, that was the mark we were trying to hit for CPB compliance. And I just forwarded to everybody on this committee the most recent of the email in the thread regarding this topic, the one in which Elizabeth Milos is going back and forth with people. She has a reply from Fred Dunkerley from earlier today, Craig Dunkerley, rather. He says, the decision to put the cab on pause was not mine. Initially, this was caused by the pandemic. Subsequently, as I understand it, the LSB passed a motion to revive the cab, but the PNB objected to the way the LSB chose to do it, and subsequently inquiries from the LSB to the PNB for further guidance have not received any response.
All right.
So says he. And so you should all have that in your at the top of your heap of email at this point. I just all forwarded right. it.
Thank you, Beth.
Thanks.
Yes, you find the information there? Dan?
Something I've never seen before, but open meeting. I'm trying to read through very quickly. There's regular animals. You already know. The regular attend. Oh. It was just imagined. Huh?
All right. Let me, I have it in front of me. I'm going to read what it says. This is the, and someone needs to mute if there's noise coming in there. Actually, I could mute you if I want to, but I won't. Anyway, it says very clearly, funds may not be distributed pursuant to this subpart to any public broadcasting station other than that of any station which is owned and operated by a state, a political or special purpose subdivision of a state or a public agency, unless such station establishes a community advisory board. Any such nation station shall undertake good faith efforts to assure that, one, its advisory board meets at regular intervals. It doesn't say anything about quarterly, although that, of course, makes common sense. The members of its advisory board regularly attend the meetings of the advisory board, and the composition of its advisory board are reasonably representative of the diverse needs and interests of the community served by such station. The board shall be permitted to review the programming goals established by the station, the service provided by the station, and the significant policy decisions rendered by the station. The board may also be delegated any other responsibilities determined by the governing body of the station. The board shall advise the governing body of the station with respect to whether the programming and other policies of the station are meeting the specialized educational and cultural needs of the community served by the station, and may take such recommendations as it considers appropriate to meet such needs. The role of the board shall be solely advisory in nature, except to the extent other responsibilities are delegated to it by the board and the governing body of the station. In no case shall the board have any authority to exercise any control over the daily management or operation of the station. So it's very clear. Advisory board can meet at regular intervals. It has to. And the members of the board have to attend the meetings, and it has to be reasonably represented in the diverse needs and interests of the community served by such station, et cetera. So the problem we have right now is that it seems that some stations aren't following any of this. And the purpose, I just don't want to spend much time on this, but we just have to take care of this ASAP, because everybody knows about this issue. It's not a new issue. It doesn't need to be studied. We used to get money from the CPB based on our community advisory boards. The stations just have to mock Schnell and set something up. And frankly, given the experience and knowledge of the stations on these issues, I frankly think a 2-week process is not done unreasonable, frankly, to ask them to do this. It's just ridiculous to even have to argue this. So I want to ask other people what they think. What do you think?
This is Jack. May I interject something?
Yes, Dan.
I think that considering how difficult it is to put together a cabinet, you don't have one in the first place, I would say a month is more reasonable amount of time to do so.
Jim, if you're talking, we can't hear.
Beth, do you want to say something? You have something to add?
Yes, if I may.
Go on.
Shall I go? Thank you. I would say that 2 weeks' notice of anything starting in the middle of August is probably unrealistic because first, people are vacating this time of year. And besides that, Pacifica is in the middle of a hot and heavy election at the moment, and people are pretty much preoccupied with that. I would propose alternately that we
require a report from each. That we require each of the cabs from the five different stations to report to the PNB during our next regular PNB meeting at the beginning of September, the one where we always do the reports from committees, because we don't actually ever have anything to do with the cab anywhere on the agenda to receive updates. And that way it would give them notice that something's being required of them. It would give us the chance to get their own assessment of their current status. And at that point, then, once we have a reported status from each of them, or not, as the case may be, then I think we might be in a better position to take more definitive action.
All right. I don't agree. I think I understand your proposal is quite reasonable, but it's not as if this issue has just appeared out of nowhere. This issue has been discussed for years, and all the stations know that they should be having community advisory boards in existence. I don't think they should be given any kind of break on this, because it does indeed interfere with a process that took a lot of effort to get underway. We all know the application to the CPB is a iffy proposition to start with, but to allow stations to essentially do what they want on this issue when it affects the possibility of gaining hundreds of thousands of dollars, I don't think is reasonable to let them sort of wait around until September. This is just too... it's just everybody knows this issue. Everybody involved in governance is quite aware of this issue. But anyway, other people may have a different opinion about this. Does anybody else want to express themselves on this point?
Well, it seems to me that it would take like the chair, the board chair, or someone with that status to strongly recommend that the stations have this board. I think the way people are today, we have to make it like a process, you know. And people don't take kindly to mandates sometimes, especially y'all radicals. but that's my opinion. Maybe perhaps the PNB chair or somebody with that kind of status could strongly recommend that the stations implement this policy.
All right, I hear you, Bill. Julie, do you have a comment on this?
No, I mean, I think, I think in some sense, really, the PNB is the governing body, and the PNB can decide, whether, and in fact, we did, I thought, decide something about whether what KPFA had passed, or the way they had run the elections for their cab was appropriate. I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but everybody needs to have one, period. I mean, and because the point is clear, a community advisory board operates at the level of a station, not at the level of a network. But we get CPB money at the level of the network. So, we can't have one station or two stations or three or four or five sabotaging our efforts to get CPB money by not running cabs properly. That's it.
All right. Well, yes, go on, Beth.
A legacy hand.
A legacy hand. Well, is there some sort of synthesis with all these different points of view? Because I'm sort of in the draconian mode on this one. although I totally agree with Bill and Beth's sensibility and Julie's sensibility. I mean, is there some compromise we can come up with? Because first of all, I think it's totally outrageous that we even have to have this debate because, the CUNY advisory boards are a no-brainer. They're essential for us to have that as one aspect of being able to even apply to the CPB. But anyway, can somebody, maybe suggest some compromising language here, that would perhaps allow us to take this up at the next board meeting?
This is Beth.
Go on, Beth.
I still think that the place to start is to get each of the tabs to report to us at the next board, at the next regular, during the regular committee reporting process. And I will not be the least surprised if at least one, if not others, don't, in which case then they will have made it, they will have provided every bit of justification I think we need to step in and determine for them that they do have a cab and to appoint people if necessary. We can work on that motion between now and then. But I think to take draconian action, so this issue is not new, you're right, but it's also not new to us. It's not new to me that the situation at KPFA has been as it is pretty much this whole year. I just had my plate more than full of other things I had to deal with. So it's as much our fault as it is theirs for not having dealt with it before this. And I think asking for them to report would kind of hit the reset and put them on notice, give them what should be adequate time to provide a report to us. And then they can provide justification for it. It'll be affirmation of those tabs that are meeting, which is good. And it will provide us whatever justification we need to take further action at that point. And I would be wholeheartedly in support of something really definitive then and not just to let it slide.
Well, maybe Regan.
Go on, Dan.
When Stephanie told us that she was going to be fine for recognition by the CPB, I was a little worried because of the fact that we didn't have all the cabs on board. And she knew that. And she said we had a cab council, which actually made a lot of sense to the PMB and her, that we had an oversight board of all the cabs. And so if one of them was adhering to all the principles that the CPB had asked or demanded on their website, then we were all covered by that. So, but on the other hand, that made me feel a little queasy about the fact that there were so many that were not adhering to those standards. So if I can be of any assistance in polling the other cabs or in any way helping with that effort to get them on board, I'm more than willing to help.
Right. Thank you, Dan. All right. There's nothing perfect in any cabs right now, as there is in anything in governance, period. I mean, they all need improvement. I don't want to single out the people in Berkeley because there's a lot of need to make cabs. Hold on. You too much noise. There's a whole lot of need for a lot of the cabs to be working more effectively everywhere. I know I can base that on what I've seen in New York and other places in the country, so I'm not singling these guys out at all. But it is pretty obvious that we need this to be done now. Julie, I'm just wondering what you think would be the best approach to handle this.
I mean, honestly, I think the point is that we did pass a motion on something. Now, it might have been that it was just, you know, targeted at how they did the voting for the KPFA cab.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it, you know, because I want to say that it was a motion that one of the directors from KPFA brought, right? Like knowing the situation there.
Right.
And so where I could, so I guess what I'm trying to say is we can't really pass another motion that just repeats what we did before.
Right.
But what we could do is pass a motion that says, you know, declares the PMB the governing body for purposes of approving of cabs. And then, making it clear, right, that, each of the stations needs to, you know, each of the stations cab, you know, needs to, you know, be brought to the PMB for approval. And then that's the way that the PMB makes sure that there's no, funny games going on in terms of trying to impose local control by the LSB, which shouldn't occur. Because right. After all, they're supposed to grade the station, not, you know, rubber stamp the station. And then the second thing is we would also then know who has brought, the composition of their cab to the PMB and been able to say, yep, we're good with that. You know, and by and large, you know, what's the PMB going to say, you know, when about all of these? I mean, I think what's going to happen is, for each of the five cabs, you know, the four directors from the station that that cab is representing, the four directors are going to have to say, you know, well, we came up with this, you know, fair process to identify cab members and here they are, you know, and, you know, and if the four directors can represent that it was fair, and I mean all four, you know, then great. The PMB, like, you know, for another station, I would say, like, as a director, I would say, I don't know enough detail, but I'm trusting my colleagues from that station. And so, you know, I see it panning out that way. And then in general, you know, it's a way to make sure that there aren't any, you know, games being played because you have to come to the PMB, right? It's not that the PMB is actually going to actively say so-and-so can be on the cab and so-and-so can't, right? It's not that kind of level of micromanaging. It's oversight, if you will. Sorry. That was long-winded.
All right. Well, if you can think of some language, Beth, let me just put Nancy on before you. Go on, Nancy.
Hi. Yeah, I was just looking at the community advisory board page on the CPB and I had a question. Cause it's not clear. It says you won't, that a station will not get any funds from the CPB if they don't have, a CAB. I don't know if it, does that mean that Pacifica won't get any money from the CPB if one of the stations doesn't have a cab, or does it mean that if the CPB gives us any money, none of it will go to the stations that do not have a CAB.
It's in my interpretation that applies to the whole network. If one applying station in the network or two do not have functioning cabs, that's a ground to not give any money, period, to Pacifica. That's my understanding. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that answers that question. And then the other question is are the people that if we have contact information for the people that used to be on CABs, could we contact them? Are they aware that it's holding up getting CPB money? If it's not, could we like make them aware of it?
Well, that's a fair point. Thank you, Nancy. That's a good point. I have my own opinions about this issue, but I'll be charitable that perhaps they are not aware of this, but yes, we should let them know. A very good point. And we, Beth, go on, Beth.
Thank you. I would say that, it makes sense that, the PMB should be the ultimate
governing body, that that's where any disputes should be taken. But I don't think that individual CAB members or at the actual roster should be subject to PNB approval or have to run the gauntlet of tasks to their individual, the four directors from each station, that gauntlet, because at that point, you run the risk of it becoming political. I think it's the process that each CAB uses that should be subject to the approval of the PNB. If the process is deemed adequate and fair, and then it's applied, then that should be adequate. I know that our CAB, I took part in those interviews, standing up our initial membership, and that that process was actually observed by a CPB member monitoring our interviews. So I would hope that if we were in any way out of line, we would have found out about it then. But I do think we need to be careful that this, whatever we do with the CAB, should be insulated from the kind of factionalism that so often comes into play in every aspect of the governance. I mean, I think that's why the CPB made it plain that CABs are supposed to be separate from governance. They're not supposed to be run by the board or any of the boards. It makes sense that we clarify that it's the PNB does have oversight to see to it that there is a fair process in place and up and running CABs and to settle any disputes. But to have to pass on every roster, I guess I speak coming from a severely, painfully divided board at this cost. And I really, really wouldn't want, and a situation in which we still only have three directors from our station. So I think our CAB is in good running order, and I don't want to do anything unnecessary that would, or more than necessary, that would in any way destabilize that situation. Thanks.
All right. Go on, Julie.
I think what I was going to say, I'm sorry, I'm having to multitask because that's my life. I think what I was going to say was, in response to Nancy's question about CABs and reaching out to people who've been on them previously, that we have tried to reach out to the people who've been on CABs previously. And in many instances, they've been either difficult to get a hold of or they've expressed limited interesting continuing. So I don't think it's the case that there are, you know, functioning CABs out there who, and I'm getting feedback, Beth, from your line, that there are CABs out there that if only they knew we needed them to function, they would just function. So I'm a little bit skeptical that that's the case. The other point that I wanted to make was, it's come back to me, is if we had a completely unblemished record as a network in terms of complying with CPB, I would think there would be some possibility that, you know, we could get CPB funding for four stations out of five if four stations out of five had CABs, functioning CABs. But I think we're not in a position to get the benefit of the doubt from the CPB. And that's the sense in which I think we're going to have functioning CABs that comply with, you know, CPB regs on CABs, or they are unlikely to give us any funding. So that's the sense in which, you know, maybe it does require some action on the part of the PNB. That's it.
All right. Well, the question is what to do tonight. You know, we've just outlined some of the problems. What should we do about it? Does anybody have, because, you know, yes, I'm in the draconian mode about this, but I certainly hear you, Bill. I certainly hear you, Elizabeth. And I certainly hear you, Julie, on this question. How, and Nancy raised some questions also. So what's the best way to proceed? Because I think we're close to time on this. I definitely want to see this dealt with at the next meeting. Go on, Nancy.
Brainstorming here. Maybe we could ask that each station, or at least the stations that don't have them functioning, announce on the air that they need to start a functioning CAB in order for Pacifica to get grants from the CPB. Just let the whole audience know. And if anyone's interested in joining the CAB, please contact whoever.
All right. That's one idea. I would just want to see, all of us, I'm very familiar with this. I think everybody on this phone call in different ways is pretty familiar with this. Bill less so because he's not getting money from the CPB. But I just don't want to, finish this without us acting on something to do something about it concretely. I would simply make the motion let's consider this a conciliatory motion, perhaps embodying some of the comments that all the stations report within 2 weeks as to what the status of their community advisory boards are and are they functioning. And simple as a starter. And then just see what happens. Julie, what are you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think that sounds like a great way to go about it, because it's we need to know. And, if in 2 weeks time, one of the units come, or two or three of the units come back and say, well, we're just really not sure. Well, then we would know whether or not we need to take any action.
All right. Is that language satisfactory to everybody? We just asked them, go on, Nancy, raise your hand again. Go on, Nancy. You have to unmute, Nancy. Nancy, yes.
I have to lower my hand, sorry.
Oh, okay. Go on, Beth.
Thank you. Report in what form? And to what body? This is 2 weeks from now, would be the 28th.
When's our next national meeting? Thursday?
Yes, Thursday.
All right,
Thursday the 17th.
All right, I would propose that we put a motion that would ask them to report in writing in 2 weeks as to the status of their community advisory boards and are they functioning or not. And then we can move from there. Is that, that's along the lines of satisfactory?
Jim, I'd like to add that we should ask them how many times they've met this year, how many meetings do they have scheduled going forward. I think, the issue is at least at JPMA, they may have met once or they may have not met at all.
All right. Go on, Beth.
I would like to include, or I would like them to include a list of their, well, actually probably an attendance roster. They should have that, who has been present, not just a list of who their members are, but who is actually attended, who are there, who do they list as members? That sort of thing.
If I could just tag on to that, that's required in the CPB regulations, that is part of the governing body, which again is probably the LSB or the PNB, but it's the responsibility is to I don't want to say assure, but monitor or see that the CAB members are attending regularly.
All right. Could I ask, could I delegate? Bill. Who's that, Bill? Who was that who just jumped in there? Was that Dan? Was that you? All right. Nancy, go on, Nancy.
You can see the meetings on KPFTX. You can see their meetings. whether they met or not.
Right, right, right. All right, but we just want them, I think it's reasonable to ask them to, I know I don't want to spend the next 10 to 15 minutes coming up with a proper wording, but could I at least get the sentiment, the meaning that we'll try to develop a motion in the next 2 days that'll go to the PMB? We'll work on that to deal with this issue, unless somebody magically comes up with a wording right now.
Jim, I like the come up with it for the PNB idea, and I want to suggest that you or whoever else is working on that go to the CPB regulations via the link on KPFTX, and right. It outlines there what the requirements are for the cabs, and you can take your items and just
all right.
List them. Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this?
Right. All right. Well, then I will take the responsibility to draft that motion, and then I'll run it through all you guys, and then you can, critique me or rewrite it any way you want. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Anybody else want to say anything else on this before we go on? Beth, you want to have a last lick here? No?
I'm good. Thanks.
And Nancy, how about you?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. I'd like to move next to the issue of strategic plans. Now, obviously, given the nature of what we're all dealing with, and as I understand, there's a little breather coming in possibly. But as we know, even if we get a little breather financially, that's not necessarily going to solve the problems in general. So what I wanted to share with you is I was working, and I have not integrated in what I have been working on the marvelous work that Stephanie did, and I haven't integrated that into what I'm doing yet because I wanted to focus in on the station itself and the stations on the revenue side, how they're earning money. But since we're on the stream and we're now being broadcast, I wanted to share with people what I've sort of discovered. And I'm going to focus in on the research part of this strategic draft plan, because, again, if we're going to do a strategic plan, we're going to have to bring all the players in from all the country, from the United States, listeners, staff, everybody got a say on this. And so that'll be an interesting process. Now, one of the things I want to first start off with is at the general level of radio listening, there is a drop that's continued as a result of COVID. I based that on a June study by the Radio Research Consortium. For those out there in listener land, the RRC is the outfit that basically does the Nielsen reports, or used to do the Arbitron reports, does the Nielsen ratings for public radio media stations, community radio stations who subscribe to them. And what they found in their report was that there has been a downward slide from 2020 to 2023 because of the pandemic in all the major markets in terms of radio listening. But what is disturbing is that even after the, quote, official end of the pandemic, this decline has continued. So the amount of people listening to radio in these are markets our stations are in is 50% down in San Francisco, about 50% down in all the major markets, 40% in New York, et cetera. Now, another finding they found out is time spent listening. Time spent listening is very important because what that means is that's how you get listener members. People tune in, they want to stay tuned in, and then they basically become loyal, and then you can convert them to a listener member subscriber. The term is TSL. That is also declined throughout the country. In New York City, Los Angeles, and Houston, the decline is roughly 40%. Since 2016. Now, so that's general. throughout the whole country with public and community radio in general. Now, to go into the Pacifica aspects of this, we are no longer getting Nielsen ratings. So precise numbers are difficult to get. I estimate, but I've been working these numbers for 25 years plus. I've been, you know, looking, studying this stuff. So I also know we get the information from the streaming data that KPTFX allows us to do. I estimate that our audience dropped at least 75% since 1999, and it could be even bigger than that. It could be a 90% drop. And the reason I calculate that is if you add up the weekly cumes to each of the stations, I would say that we have 21 to 40,000 listeners in New York. That is not people tuning in, which is a different number, but that's actual listeners. And that is reduced from what it was. The height of our listenership was 500,000 at the time of the Gulf War. So we're talking about a almost 90% drop in our audience since 1992 in New York City. In the case of Los Angeles, that audience is really steep in its drop. It's between 26 to 40,000 right now in Los Angeles listening to the radio station in general. And again, one has to make distinctions between people tuning in, which is what the cumes generally, the cumes are basically 5 minutes per person as they tune in. And, that doesn't mean that, so someone could tune into the station 3 or 4 times a day. But you have to then distinguish, and that's what's important to look at the streaming data to get these calculations. The San Francisco market is a little higher. It's between 40 and 80,000. So KPFA has a larger audience. KPFT has actually increased its audience anywhere from 50 to 80,000. So, and they've actually, achieved a 0.4% cume in their market, which is up from 0.1%. So they've actually improved pretty dramatically in their market. It's been seen in how they've been doing financially. However, their overall budget's $500,000. But anyway, kudos to them. In Washington, it's anywhere from 35 to 70,000 in terms of weekly listeners. Again, Washington is the station in the system that has the highest amount of listeners per capita of any station in the Pacifica network. Nevertheless, the amount of people listening is anywhere from 210 to 300,000. And I personally think that's too high. I think it's far less. Now, another significant statistic is the amount of listener members we have. And this is quite telling. In 2004, and I base this on the NES statistics, the National Election, Supervisor Reports, our numbers in 2004 were about 100,000. They now are about 30,000, 3,100. So we've reduced our listener member support by 70% since 2004. Quite significant drop. Now, another aspect of this is to understand how we have our revenue streams broken down in terms of the where the money comes from. The statistics I'm giving you right now are based on this Harvard study that was done by Professor Patterson, Thomas Patterson. We had him on the Tech Task Force about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and they had studied all the different listener NPR stations that they had. And again, NPR stations, you cannot generalize, different situation. However, they derive their revenue from listeners. It's around 39 to 40%. Now, another category that they get a significant amount of backing from is corporate and business underwriting. Now, we know that we have distinct rules, even with this underwriting motion, we cannot take money from Lockheed Martin. We cannot take money from, there's all these reasonable and justifiable exclusions that cannot be compared to an NPR station. So But they get about 20% of their revenue from underwriting. Other ma and pa underwriting we're free to get. I doubt very much, and you'll hear in a minute, we get an insignificant amount of money from underwriting. Major donors. Now, some of our stations, this is defined in public radio as someone donating $1,000 or more annually. In the case of an NPR station, it's about 5% of their listeners are in that category. Our stations have very generous numbers of people who donate $1,000 or more annually. And some of the stations, it's very high. It's 20% in some stations. So that's a distinction there. Now, foundation money and national foundation money is about 6% nationally for an NPR station. In our case, as we know, it's practically non-existent. It's only fleetingly in the San Francisco station. And then there's little dibs and drabs at the other stations, but nothing like 6%. And then CPB is about 15% of the revenue of an NPR station. We get none of that kind of money right now. And other sources is about 15%. Now, if we go through all the different stations, the amount of money that comes in generally is roughly about 74% of our money comes in from listener members. So we're very dependent on our loyal listener base. However, the diversity of income from other sources is difficult to, you know, if that's where the problems occur. We don't have a diversity of income and streams from other sources in any significant number. Now, corporate, for example, in this particular, as I'm showing the members on this phone call through a PowerPoint, there's all sorts of different categories of money, website income, 5.4%. Corporate match, I don't know where that came from, but it was 0.1% of our overall revenue based on the consolidated report. Donations about 8%, and general in all, throughout the whole station, but underwriting extremely insignificant, 0.1%. And again, New York gets what 50 to 60,000, at this point or more from the PSA. So there's a little bump on that, but nevertheless, it's low. Community events. Now, people are always talking about community events. It's not to say they shouldn't happen, but they are overall not a significant amount of our revenue stream. It's about 1.5%. It's not, and again, they should happen. I'm not saying they shouldn't happen. They should happen. But again, in terms of the overall revenue stream for the whole foundation, it's only 1.5%. People raise SCA income all the time, subcarrier frequency income. That money used to be a lot larger than it is right now. I think it's in the consolidated report listed at 120,000. In the early 80s, it was a 600,000. It was actually large numbers of amount of money a year. That went right to the national office. But the amount of money we get now annually is, it's an obsolete technology and it's been replaced by other means of digital communication. Now, grant income is very low. Remember I said the Empire station is about 6%. We get about 2.5% annually in grant income. And then there's other categories, premium sales, et cetera. Now, let me look at some of the stations. Some of this is KPFA. 70% is from listener members. And actually 78%, because I'm adding in the major donations. Underwriting community event. Community events is actually pretty low, 0.3%. No money from sponsorships or underwriting, although I understand there is some underwriting going on in Los Angeles. Grant income, 2.4%. I do not know where that money comes from. And then there's this category of miscellaneous other income. I assume that's, this is, but anyway, this is KPFA. KPFA is the most, stable in terms of income of all the stations. But as I said, there's been a decline in audience at all the stations nationwide. KPFK is about 2.3 million. 54%, is from listener. So essentially, about 55% is from listener members. They had an interesting category here, website income, which I'm not sure what that is. Lots of money from car donations. I think it's the highest in the nation. However, underwriting 0.2%. So that's another weakness there. And then all these are empty categories, that have, that. Now, BAI is the most dependent on listener members right now. And so that can be, that's another, we're highlighting the stations that are most in difficulty due to income diversity in terms of their streams and revenue. They get about 87% from their listener members. And then there's a 13% budget that is from other income. But again, I know that there's money that comes in from these other sources, but it's not, it's, and again, the sponsorship and underwriting, I'm not including the PSAs. That would probably be about close to 6 or 7% of that total, maybe something in that category. But nevertheless, overwhelming dependence on listener members. Again, not saying that's bad, but it shows you that the programming is extremely important to maintain their loyalty. PFW, about 86 to 87% in terms of money from listener members, grant income low. KPFT, about, that's also about 70 to 80%, 80% from listener members. And again, the question of grant income is a significant issue. So I wanted to just highlight that because those are some of the structural characteristics that I think we're all familiar with. And I wanted to just give those facts out because they sort of highlight the revenue stream weaknesses of the stations. I concentrated just on revenue streams because I just am thinking about how we can earn more money, more revenue. I'm not concentrating on the expenditure of money and how we spend it because I, you know, that of course, you know, you have these finance committees. That's all they do. They don't think about how to make money. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. Because this is the kind of things we have to figure out how to solve. Anyway, and I sent a document out to everybody so people can look at it and comment on it. I also sent the strategic planning document that Stephanie wrote and also one that actually caused the old board to be overthrown. It was done in 1992, but I thought that that'd be useful for people to read. So any comments or thoughts that you have about strategic planning at this point and what we should do? Anybody? Yeah, Julie, go on.
So thanks for sharing all those statistics. The one thing that I have long wondered about is the degree to which our accounting, not saying it's wrong, but that some things might have been categorized differently at different units. In other words, stations could say, well, I am going to track major donors separately than other donors, right? And some, depending on how grants come in, they might be, unless there's like contractual set of paperwork that goes with a grant that says like, we're giving you these monies to be spent on exactly this purpose, you know, and sometimes when you apply for grant money, it's because, a foundation says, I'm trying to further this particular purpose. So I'm, soliciting proposals along those lines and then they make grants, but they also, follow that up with a contract that says, and thou shalt spend it, in these kinds of ways. They put sideboards on what you can do with it. But if some things that we get that people sometimes call grants are really, you go to a foundation, you ask for a little bit of money, you probably tell them, why you think you need the money, right? But they don't put any restrictions on it. And so there's no paperwork. And so they just cut a check. And I think sometimes things like that show up as a donation and sometimes it shows up as a grant. And so there's, it's just a little bit, I don't want us to put too much weight on kind of the variety of sources. If in fact, one of the things that we're observing here is a variety of ways in which, the specificity with which we record these things. Thanks.
Yeah, fair point. Go on, Nancy. Nancy, you had your hand up.
Sorry, I did it again.
Oh, that was a quote legacy. Beth, go on, Beth. Beth, need unmute.
Sorry, that was a legacy sound too, but I could comment on this. I would just like to point out what a difference it has made at KPFK to have had one dedicated, hardworking, engaged general manager, working for the last, I think it's close to 10 months straight now, that he's managed to turn the tide in a number of ways, not just cutting expenses, but starting to get those plates back up on sticks and spinning in terms of underwriting and other support from the community, that possibility has been there the whole time, but with like 2.5 years of no consistent management or management at a distance from 3,000 miles away. You know, you've got somebody's name on the FCC license, but unless there's somebody actually in the station and with their hands on the helm, things like this just don't happen. So I'm very grateful to have had the services of Michael Novick for the last 10 months. And, you know, we're not out of trouble by any means, but it looks to me like on a few fronts he's been managing to turn the tide. What a difference consistent management can make. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else want to comment on this issue? I can't see hands. I don't doubt that it's a very challenging task for anybody to come in and turn a Pacifica station around. Because, you know, many of us will be looking at concrete results, which unfortunately, given the situation we're in right now, is how much money is being generated. And perhaps that's unfair, but given the fact that what I just outlined has been a steady decline for 20 years plus, it's very hard for one person, no matter how motivated they are, to turn it around in a heartbeat. It's very tough. Anyway, and I just wanted to share that because it seems to me that if I was looking at some of the things that were done by our predecessors on this committee, and Alex used to do these little reports about things we have to do right now. And all of us on the national board are quite aware of the fact that we're just overwhelmed right now with the issues of how to deal with these declining revenues and how they're impacting every aspect of the foundation's stability. And even if we get short-term relief, we're still left with these structural problems. I don't think there's a unity of vision as to how to solve these problems, or else we wouldn't be in this state that we're in, I think. Because there is a clash in terms of what people think are the solutions. Michael has his opinions about programming. I have mine. You know, it's what the people support to me is the most important thing. You know, what do people pay for? What do they actually want to listen to? And of course, within the confines of the mission. Now one person, we have some talented people running for the board in New York, one of whom has been a professional in the digital sphere, her career ever since she got a MBA. And one of the things she said to me was, you guys should be looking for social influencers who have large audiences, who already can build in that audience into a radio show. So someone who has 100, 200,000 people who pay attention to them, 300,000, 400,000, you know, and who's politically hip, who is willing to go along with a mission statement and agrees with it. I mean, frankly, somebody like that doesn't necessarily need to be an opposite of a station, but, you know, that's perhaps, a manifestation of putting digital technology together with a particular show that can bring in lots of people. But anyway, I just wanted to share those ideas with people, hear what people had to say. Okay. Go on, Beth.
I just wanted to point out there's one place in the country that where the radio listenership has skyrocketed by orders of magnitude in the last few days, and that's Maui, where radio, broadcast radio, is the only source of information or communication for the time being, because the internet's down, the cell phones are down, all other means of communication are down. And so it's not the first time that's happened. We should position all Pacifica stations to be that vital lifeline of communication when the moment arises, because if listeners find us at these times when their life depends on it, you can bet they will never forget us, and they'll be back again and again and again. Thanks.
Well, that's a very good point. One of the things I just wanted to share with people that occurred in New York was, we haven't populated these task forces yet, but, several task forces have been created to deal with the situation in New York. One of which is to, create new premiums, another is to handle publicity, another is to work on the question of lapsed donors, and another is to, deal with the underwriting issue. And Jim, maybe you can remind me what the fifth was. I think there are five functions that was decided upon. So it's actually quite exciting. And one of the things that's interesting is that one of the women involved, one of the people involved who's a professional fundraiser, has decided to volunteer to draft a letter that could be used as a fundraising letter to foundations. And this is something to think about with all the stations. To have people write somebody like that and say, well, what are the positive things you get from listening to BAI, PFW, KPFK, KPFA, KPFT? What are the things you most enjoy or learn from in getting that? And that is something that a professional fundraiser puts in a letter. Go on, Jim. What were you going to say? You unmuted for a second.
I was just going to say, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't tell you what those things are.
Okay, thanks. Anyway, I just wanted to send out that particular paper, which I'm going to rewrite some more and synthesize. And, you know, I don't know. Personally, I think the most important thing right now is to survive, is to not go bankrupt, is to not go into a financial tailspin and crash to the ground. I mean, I don't know how the rest of you feel, but that to me is an uppermost factoid that must be avoided at all costs. Period. End of story. And I think we can do it, but it's going to take a lot of cooperation, a lot of people putting their anger and animosities aside and working together. That's a novel concept, but that to me is part of the process of actually getting through this situation. Does anybody have anything else they'd want to add or want to talk about at this point on the issue of strategic planning? Where do we go from here? I'm seeing a resounding, absence of sound. okay. All right. So as I said, I will put together a draft resolution on this CAB thing and send it out to everybody so they can comment it. We can come up with language that is conciliatory but achieves the point. And at that point, I would make a, unless there's anybody have any new business they want to raise or anything like that. Heather, you haven't said anything. You just came in late.
Yes, my apology. Well, I was talking with Julie and others today a little bit about this, but and I know I've mentioned this to the board as well, and also to Stephanie. I think that one of the reasons that radio is having its struggle right now, and community radio, is because there is a vast array now of so many media outlets that were not there when we first started, right? When Lou Hill first started this. But I do think that we need to educate the public about the important role that community radio plays. We are the voice of the people, of the community altogether. There's no other media entity like this. So I think we need to write articles and explore other ways within the media outlets that we have available to educate people about the programs, but about the important role that we play in representing the masses of the people. Anyway, we can be more specific about it, but I just wanted to bring that up again, Jim, because we're not doing enough of that kind of education, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you. And I think something that I thought of over the weekend, in another life, I am working on, plays. And recently, I've been reading Romeo and Juliet, very carefully with a bunch of actors. And what struck me with the play is, look what's going on in Florida right now. They're actually banning Macbeth, Hamlet, and Romeo and Juliet. So I said to myself, well, it's really too bad that we don't have the flexibility to exert to essentially create and generate national programming in a heartbeat, because I would think that something would be interesting to do is to have A-list actors who are on strike in New York and Los Angeles to comment about how ridiculous that is. To not, aside from all the other things they're doing, this whole debate they're doing about African American history, everything that's going on down there is absurd. But that kind of things that rebrand Pacifica and change its perception in a mass light, to me, are important for us to do right now. Absolutely, to change this whole situation. Nancy, go on, Nancy.
Yeah. So regarding that, people are always coming up with great ideas like this. And then there's this disconnect between getting the idea, getting the idea, who's going to do the idea, between people like us that are trying to come up with good ideas to help the situation, and then the staff. And the staff sort of does their own thing, I don't know if they ever hear of our great ideas. So somehow maybe we can get better relations with the staffs, or help the staffs more, because they're overstretched. And the other thing was on Heather's idea, and your idea too, Jim, is letting people know what's out there. Would it be appropriate for every station to let the audiences know about what's available on the other five stations, so they can listen to it on the archives, or listen to it on streaming. And that way, they might support other programs around the network, no matter what part of the country they're in.
That's a brilliant idea.
And it would maybe solve some of the animosity between stations, and certainly make the stations aware of being a part of a bigger whole than themselves, and how to get the rest of the country aware of Pacifica. I mean, right now you can listen to Pacifica anywhere in the country because of streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some publicity outreach to the rest of the country, and we do that. I guess maybe we need to be on YouTube more.
Oh yeah, that goes without saying. you know, one
easy way to low hanging fruit is just to get us on YouTube.
Right. Right. Well, one thing I liked, I mean, I didn't like when they shut New York down in 2019, but the idea of a Pacifica Cross America as an independent concept, bundling together all the music shows, because we have excellent music shows at all the stations. I must admit, that's one thing I've learned surfing through the stations. There are some really amazing music shows that are at all the stations, and something like that beamed out as a separate entity to me, you know, taking, you know, all the different music shows, rotating them in, you know, figuring out some equitable way to have everybody participate. I think that would be an amazing thing, because the music shows we have are just, I mean, I really have great, I mean, it just amazes me how talented all these people are in all the different stations. It truly is amazing. And that to me is a good ambassadorship to the rest of the country, because, you know, people like to listen to music. You know, they can take the politics later, but the music speaks for itself. You know, if you do a good music show, you can do a lot in educating somebody to be sensible to all sorts of other things in life. Anyway, anybody else want to say something before we cut out, or any other comments, last comments? All right. Well, on that note, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Go on. What are you going to say, Beth?
Just that I just emailed you the attendance for tonight for your minutes. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Well, thank you all for participating. This was the August 14th meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee. And I want to thank everybody for participating. Thank you, Otis, for streaming it. And you all have a very good night.